All right, Rabbi Say, let's begin. So we are picking up Emir Tzah Hashem on Lamed Beis with days 32b, and we are picking up, I believe, Amrabi Chanina. Does that make sense? The two dots there. Rava Lo Gazer. Five lines up from the wide lines.
Ah,
Rava Lo Gazer. Thank you. Rava lo gazra tanisa biyoma di'iva. So Rava, wow, I can't believe I didn't finish the two dots. Okay. Rava would not go ahead and decree a fast day on a cloudy day. Mishum shenemar sakosa ba'analach me'avor tfila. Quoting over here the pasuk from Eicha, right, where the pasuk says, literally again, sakosa ba'analach, you've covered yourself with a cloud and prevented anything from penetrating to you. So this idea that Rava felt that cloud cover represented some type of barrier between us and the Ribono Shalolam, and therefore not to decree a fast day on a cloudy day. Incredible. So we'll say this is very reminiscent of the Gemara we saw last night as well. Rabbi Elazar says, on the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, literally, there's a Chomas Barzal. Right, there's an iron wall between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shene'emar, V'yata kach lecha machvas barzel, unesata osa kir barzel beinecha o beina'ir. Amar B'chanan, so first of all, this goes back to yesterday's Gemara, that there is no question that since the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, that destruction created a barrier, created a separation between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. But it's important, like we saw in yesterday's Gemara, to understand that even though certain avenues are closed, certain avenues still remain open. Like we saw, like the Shari Dima, the gates of tears, right? So again, some things are closed, but other things always remain open. This is actually a very profound Gemara. So the Rabbi Chanina says as follows: whoever prolongs his davening, in other words, davens for a long time, his tefillah does not return empty. And I will say now, what that said, the way to like kind of interpret that quickly off the cuff is if you daven for a long time, your prayers will be answered. I mean, where do we know that? From Minalon, Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemar Vaspala Al Hashem, Oksiv Basrei Vayishma Hashem Elai Gaba Pam Hahi. So ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards, this is by the Meraglim, and afterwards it says that Hashem listened to me this time as well. So you see from here, Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and again, his tefillos were answered. So Gemara says, really? Ini, is this true? That if you daven for a long time, that's almost, and I must say, the Gemara makes it sound like almost like it's like a guarantee. Daven for a long time, your prayers will be answered. So Ini, v'hamra b'chiyah bar abba amra b'yochanan, kala marech b'tfilah so ume'ayin ba, sof ba li de ke'ev le. It's a very profound Gemara. Whoever davens for a long time, ma'ayin ba literally means he looks at it. Rashi points out is, he examines and waits until his tefillos are going to be answered. So I daven, and then literally I sit there and I wait for my tefillos to be answered. The wording is very, very profound. So ba'al dekei lev, you're going to come to heartbreak or heartache. Shene amar tochales moshcha machle lev ma'itakante. So what should you do? So the Gemara says, what's the remedy? Yasuk batora. So what says, what does this mean? What's the remedy ultimately, again, if one is davening and their tefillos aren't being answered, what should you do? Learn Torah. Shene emar ve'eitz chayim taiva ba ve'ein eitz chayim ala Torah. Shene emar eitz chayim hilamach hazikim ba. So what says, obviously we have a contradiction. What's the contradiction? The first statement says that if you engage in prolonged prayer, your tefillos will be answered. Second Gemara says that if you engage in prolonged prayer, right, you could bring you to heartache. So which one is it? Gemara says, look, it's not a contradiction. Ha demarech uma'ayin ba. Two different cases. One is talking about a situation where you daven for a long time and you wait to see the fulfillment of your prayers. So we'll say, so a person who kind of sits there and waits for their tefillos to be answered, that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. That comes to heartache. And ultimately, again, and the other part where it says that prolonged prayer is good, that's when you daven, and ultimately, again, you don't wait there looking and sitting for your tefillos to be answered. So I was like, there are two things I think to focus on this Gemara. So first of all, this idea of kolamarech b'tefilaso uma'ayin ba. So, I'm sorry. The first statement of kolamarech b'tefilaso ein tefilaso chazeres reikam. Right. The statement that got this started was if you daven for a prolonged amount of time, so your tefila does not come back empty-handed. So I want to be clear about saying, the Gemara doesn't say that if you engage in prolonged prayer, everything you ask for, you get. Right? No one could ever make such a statement like that, because that would be a theologically flawed statement. There are plenty of righteous, wonderful people who daven for a variety of different things and they don't get what they ask for. But the Gemara is saying is like this. It's saying is, if a person engages in prolonged prayer, that is never an exercise in futility. So the prayer never comes back empty-handed. I will say, this addresses the general theological issue that we often encounter when we daven for something, and we've all had situations in life where we daven for something, that someone is ill, someone is facing a crisis, we daven. And what we daven for didn't come true. So often, it's spiritually demoralizing, because you think to yourself, I put in all of this effort, I did all of this, and yet, again, it didn't come to fruition. But Gemara says, just understand, there is no such thing as a tefillah that comes back empty-handed. It doesn't mean that your prayer gets you what you want, but every tefillah affects some level of spiritual change on some level of this universe. Can you see it? Will you be the recipient of it? Will you be the beneficiary of it? That's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just understand, kol ha'marech b'tefillah, if you engage in prolonged prayer, know one thing, Eino, what's the lashon of the Gemara? Ein tefilaso chozeres rekam. Your tefillah never comes back empty. Empty. There is no such thing as prayer that is an exercise in futility. And even if you don't get what you want, the tefillah is not for naught. We'll say that's number one. Number two, the concept ultimately, again, this is fascinating, of kol ha'marech b'tefilaso, u'me'ayin ba, whoever davens, long davening, and then like you sit there waiting for your tefillos to be answered. So the Gemara says, "Sof bali dei ke'ev leiv." You're going to be heartbroken. So we'll say, so what does this mean? So I think what the Gemara means is like this. If you daven, and you ask Hashem Baruch for something, that's great. That's part one, right? What's part two? Roll up your sleeves and make things happen. So if you daven, and you just sit there, waiting for God to do all of the heavy lifting, you're going to come to heartbreak, because that's not how the world works. Life is a synergistic partnership between man and God. There are certain things that Hashem Baruch Hu can do that I can't do, but there are many, many, many things in life that I can do. I will say, this is the mistake I think that very often we make theologically, is that we just expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do everything. Like, I davened, okay, so like, you know, God, he'll excuse me, but like, get it done. Get it, you know, finish it up. The Gemara says, if that's the way you're living, that you daven and then you wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to do everything, it's a lot of heartbreak in life, because you're not going to get what you want. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu often gives us things after he sees that we have expended maximum effort. But if you're just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show and expect God to do all the heavy lifting, that's going to be a heartbroken filled life. Really incredible Gemara. Okay, let's go back there. I'm going to say one last piece also in this, that there is a certain level of humility that has to come with prayer. That no matter how badly you want something, and no matter how badly you're praying for something, you know, we'll say, we only see things through our finite human lens. But there's a whole universe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs. And often, again, what I think I need or what I want is not what I need and not what needs to happen. So I will say, prayer always comes with a certain level of humility as well. I have to daven because I'm a human being. I have to ask for what I think is needed and necessary, but then move on and accomplish, do what you can, do what is within your power. I'm Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Chaniah. It will say another beautiful Gemara. Im ra'a adam she'espalav lo na'ane. This is beautiful. If a person davened and he sees that he's not being answered, so what do you do? Yachzor v'yispalo. Rabbi says, this is great. If you daven and you're not getting what you asked for, so what do you do? What should you do? Daven again. Rabbi says, isn't this great? You know, in life, you know, generally, like, if you try something and it doesn't work, so generally the approach is like, do something else, right? Or try something else. How incredible is it that in Ruchnius, if you try something and it doesn't work, right? So what should you do? Try harder. I would say, so often in life, when we experience frustration in our ruchnius, we just give up. We move on to something else, right? How often does it start, right? I started doing this and it was so inspiring. And then what happened? The inspiration wore off. Okay, move on to the next thing. And then the inspiration wore off of that. Move on to the next thing. So I have like a proverbial life closet that's filled with half-started spiritual initiatives. The way it works in Yiddishkeit, Rabbi Yossi, is if you do something and it's not inspiring, you know what you do? you do it again. And you know what happens the second time when it's not inspiring? You do it again. And you keep on doing it over and over and over, and then something amazing happens. One day. Now that one day, maybe days later, weeks later, months later, years later, but one day, if you keep at it, the inspiration will absolutely come. That is the secret to Ruchnius. The difference just is, too many of us give up along the way because it's just simply uninspiring. Keep plugging, or I should say differently, the road to inspiration is paved with a voluminous amount of uninspired activity. That's the way it works in life. And I know, it sounds totally counterintuitive. You're uninspired, so just keep doing it. Yeah, that's actually the way it works. I will say, by the way, it's absolutely no different than anything else in life, right? Think about, again, whatever skill set you want to hone, right? You want to become a great basketball player? So there's a ton of stuff that has to be done in order to go ahead and do that that's totally unexciting. You want to become a physician? You want to become a lawyer? You want to become an accountant? Whatever you want to do in life, anything you want to accomplish, there are parts of it that may be exciting, but there's a whole bunch of it that's going to be totally unexciting. See, can you imagine you're training for something? You get to the unexciting part. It's like, you know what? I'm not excited anymore. I'm done. New profession. I mean, there are people who do this. There are people who jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. And the truth is, that's why they never get really any traction. But if you recognize that, okay, I have a goal. And that goal is going to be great. It's going to be beautiful. But to get to that goal, there is a whole journey of unexciting, sometimes like dreary, monotonous stuff. But you push through it, and then Emir Hashem, everything one day, even in your Yiddishkeit, does become truly inspirational. Incredible. Tan Rabbanan. Who says goodbye to? Tan Rabbanan. Arbaot Tzvichin Chizuk. There are four things that require, Chizuk means Arbaot Tzvichin strengthening. In other words, there are four things in life that require constant strengthening, that essentially they don't run on autopilot. You have to constantly strengthen yourself over and over and over. Ve'eluhin, these are they. These are them. Torah. Maisim Tovim, good deeds. Tefillah, prayer. Derech Eretz. But say Derech Eretz is Parnasa. It's Parnasa. So he says, listen to this. Torah, Maisim Tovim. And I both say, what does it mean that these things need chizuk? What does that mean? It means, I both say, you know, it's interesting. There are some things in life where if you develop the skill enough, it becomes reinforced and you don't really have to do anything to actively, what's the word? Motivate yourself. Or just reinforce it. You know, I give the example of this. It's so funny. I was driving with my daughter the other day, and I'm a terrible backseat driver, like notorious. Like no one in my family will drive if I'm driving. They will not do it. Like literally, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. So I'm with my daughter in the car, and she's driving, and I said to her, I said, 10 and 2. She's like, what's 10 and 2? I said, that's how you hold the... I realized they don't speak that way anymore in driving instruction. I think also they changed it. I think also they changed not 10 and 2 anymore, 3 and 9 or whatever else it is, right? So I said 10 and 2. 10 and 2. And I said it like 15 times. I said, oh, did you check? She says, Tati, you don't put your hands on 10 and 2 when you drive. And you don't think... I was thinking to myself, like, do I not? And then realize, like, because driving, I actually was thinking about driving might be one of the only things that you could do that doesn't require chizuk. Like, the more you do it, like, I don't think anyone takes, like, no one ever, I don't think you ever hear people saying, you know, I took a driver's ed course, really just like honed my skills a little bit more. You know, I've been doing this like for a while. No one does that. I was trying to think of another thing that falls into the category of driving. I don't think there's anything else. I think anything else in life requires chizuk. Anything else in life, if you want to have continued proficiency, you need to be mechazik yourself. So the Gemara gives four examples of this. Torah needs constant chizik, right? A person can say, I went to yeshiva, I'm fine. No, that's not the way it works. Oh, I learned yesterday, and I learned extra yesterday, I'm fine for today. No, that's not the way it works. Constant chizik. Maisim tovim. They will say, why do maisim tovim good deeds? Why do good deeds need chizik? They will say, you want it for a very simple reason. People, we are inherently selfish, self-centered, and egocentric. That is the nature of man. People think like it's an aberration. It's not the aberration. It's the norm. It's the norm to be selfish, self-centered, egocentric. So Maisim Tovim means the ability to be a selfless person requires chizuk, right? What's next? Tefillah. I will say tefillah requires an acceptance that I am not independent, that I'm wholly and fully reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I will say, as much as we like to say that with our lips, internally, internally, if there's one thing we want to be, it's independent and self-reliant. So as I say, have to reinforce every day. And parnasa again, you know, generally for most of us, if you want to make money, you have to work hard each and every day. There's not really a day of like taking off from work. I mean, if you take a vacation day, but lamaisa, if you want parnasa, you have to be ready to work hard. So the Gemara goes through each of these four things. The Gemara says, Torah ma'estov minayin, shenema rachazak v'yamatz ma'od lishmor lasos kechal ha-Torah. Chazik b'Torah, or Chazak b'Torah, v'am yisem ha'isem tovim. Tfila minayin. Where do we know? So the Gemara is quoting psukim. Where do we know tfila from? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, kavei al Hashem chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kavei al Hashem. Literally, again, put your hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazak v'yameitz libecha, make your heart strong, v'kavei al Hashem, and put your hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Derech Eretz, what about Parnasa? So the Gemara says, minayin, Shenemar, chazak v'nis chazik ba'ad amenu. Let us go ahead and literally strengthen ourselves for the financial needs of our people. Tzibo say a really incredible, incredible Gemara that there are very few things that in life you could coast with, very few things that ultimately you can go on autopilot with. Incredible. Let's go about say another line, then we'll stop for tonight. So the Gemara says, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Vahashem Shechechani. Shabbos over the pasuk in Eicha says that Sion says, right? Sion is Klal Yisrael. Sion says, Hashem has left me, Azavani Hashem, and Hashem has forgotten me. I says the Gemara, isn't that redundant? Isn't that redundant? Ultimately, again, if Hashem has forgotten you, then that means you're forsaken. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So Gemara says, "Hainu shchucha, hainu azuva." Is it not redundant? So Amar Reish Lakish, Amra Knesset Yisrael Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael said before the Ribono Shel Olam. Ribono Shel Olam. Adam knows that Ishal Ishto Rishona Zocher Maaseh Rishona Ata Azavtani V'Shechachtani. So listen to this. Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if a person, man marries a second wife, you know, when polygamy was permitted, man marries a second wife, even if he marries a second woman, what? He doesn't forget about his first wife. He still remembers. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've left us. You've left your first wife, Klal Yisrael, and you've forgotten about us. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says as follows. Biti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to us as his daughter. So he says, my daughter, Yud Beis Mazalos Barasi Berakia. I created 12 constellations in the sky. Va'al kol mazal u'mazal barasi l'shloshe chayil. Va'al kol chayil v'chayil barasi l'shloshim ligyon. Va'al kol ligyon v'ligyon barasi l'shloshim riyaton. Va'al kol riyaton v'riyaton barasi l'shloshim karton. Va'al kol karton v'karton barasi l'shloshim gistra. Va'al kol gistra v'gistra talisi bo shloshim yom sashishim v'chamisha afe riva u'kol chavim. K'negim oz'chama. So as here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing the massiveness of the universe. Right, of literally again the heavens with all of the stars, the constellations, everything that's there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created all of this for who? I created all of this for you. Ve'kulan lo barasi ela bishvilech. All of this I created just for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Ve'at amrat azavtani u'shichachtani. And you said that I've forgotten you. So I will say it's incredible, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at the world, look at the beautiful. Who did I create the world for? I created the world for Klal Yisrael. How could you ever say that I have forgotten you? So we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach, stay tuned. Stay tuned for our Yom Tov Archol Hamayit schedule. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.